Hey, yo, you listening to the Cool Nerd Podcast with my daddy, Kev the Cool Nerd.
I'll fuck your bitch, then do her taxes. Nerds Podcast. I am Kev the Cool Nerd.
Yes, you are.
That's Big O from the 614.
Here.
And this is a special edition pod because it's a king's birthday today.
Goat day.
It's a king's born day. You know, and I just felt compelled that this conversation needed to be had, and this may need to end up being a holiday, much like we celebrate, you know, Martin Luther King Day. Without further ado, happy birthday, Hove.
Yes, sir.
Sean Corey Carter. I'll put it out there because it's public information anyway. December 4th, 1969, the youngest of his mother's four children, the only one to not give her any pain at 10 pounds at birth. I mean, so I'll talk about this and you know, we had to do this simply because, you know, growing up or with what we do, you know what I'm saying, just being hip hop heads or whatever, but I'll say this, being black men in general, growing up, and I don't think it even really matters where you grow up, I would venture to say 90 to 95% of all young black men's idols are either sports figures or, I was gonna say musicians, but I'll just go ahead and say rappers. Am I off if I say that?
I 100% agree with you.
Okay. All right. So while you and I grew up in the golden era of hip hop, and the golden era of basketball, you know, most people would presume that your favorite basketball player would be, or your idol or role model would be, Michael Jordan. Most people would say that. That's who we looked up to, you know what I'm saying? Things of that nature.
Yeah, we still have enough population on the world where I'd say Michael Jordan would be ranked number one.
Right. Well, for me, like, did I like Mike? Absolutely. Were the Bulls my favorite basketball team when he was playing? Yes. Is he my favorite basketball player ever? No, but I've had that conversation already.
Same here.
Yeah, but the moment I became a hip-hop head, Jay-Z's always been my favorite rapper. Jay-Z has been my role model since I was a preteen. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's on my no slander list. I do come with facts, you know, when people try to say, oh, Nas won the battle. Nah, I'm not just biased. There are things that I will say. You know what I'm saying? You know, when people start to talk about the whole Rockefeller situation, it's sensitive for me because I feel like they're family to me. Like, I hated to see them. I was depressed when that happened.
Yeah, that hurt. It hurt.
But that's how much of, you know, of a Jay-Z fan I am. When people were going around saying, you know, oh, nah, Jay's doing Jay's doing B wrong. He's cheating on B, you know, with Rihanna. I would say he would never. Have you seen Beyonce? Of course I was wrong. He made a whole album about it. Doesn't matter. But, you know, that's how much I defend him. And I promise you, he's probably the only person that I would be starstruck by if I met in person. I would have to work to not lose my thoughts.
Okay.
If I were to meet him in person, because to have his attention and have a conversation, I would want to capitalize on that. So that's kind of how, you know, that's how I feel about Hov, you know, so I'll let you kind of give your feeling too.
I like that. I like that. I too am just like you. You know, when you have your favorites in anything, you are very biased towards it.
Facts.
So yeah, Jay, you know, Jay is one of the ones that can't do no wrong. Facts. Jay's like Obama.
Facts. Big facts.
He's hip hop Obama. You know what I mean? And even going with the Nas battle, I feel like your backpackers, your purists, say that Nas won. I feel like Nas had an advantage because people thought he wouldn't respond. But people failed to realize he started the beef in the first place.
No, he didn't.
On wax. The takeover was not the original shot.
It wasn't. But Nas's first shot was a response to Memphis Bleak.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, hey, semantics.
Semantics. Because Super Ugly did Nas in.
Facts.
And so then it's like, this is where I'm happy that the Drake Pusha T battle happened. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, everybody started saying Pusha T won. And Drake was like refusing to go to a different place.
Right.
And they were like, oh, there's no rules. There's no rules. Okay. But if we rewind and go back to the Nas Jay-Z feud, all of a sudden there was rules. Jay-Z's mom called him about Super Ugly.
Facts.
And, yes. You know, a lot of people were in an uproar about, oh, that's too much. You've gone too far. No, he didn't. Because I was living by them rules back then. Exactly. So that's why I give Jay-Z the win. That was a cold, cold, cold diss song.
You couldn't come back from it. And that was the thing. Like, people talk about Ether when literally people's favorite lines from that battle, because here we go thinking about battle rap again, but people's favorite lines from Nas in that song, you know, people call back to the, oh, are you, is he Dame Diddy, Dame, oh, I get it, you're big and he's puffy. See, though, that wasn't facts, but
Tybo Ho.
Right.
That was a rebuttal from Girls, Girls, Girls.
Yeah, you know, but wow. then when Hov comes back and says, I left condoms on your baby seat. These are factuals.
Or him leaving out the back of the Source Sound Lab. Like,
but see, or we can go back to Takeover when Hov was saying, when Hov was saying, what did he say? He said, I know who I paid, God, Searchlight Publishing. Like,
oh, that's, man, listen. That
you
was
know
tough.
What I'm saying? Like, so that was a thing. Like, these are facts. These are facts. You right. know what I'm saying? Like, I was watching, and I can't wait for the whole episode to drop, but you know, Mook and Lux were on Drink Champs.
Right. Yeah.
And Mook said that you can't beat truth. He said he learned that early in battle rap. Like, if you say something that's true, it's never corny because it's true.
Facts.
You know what I mean? So you can't beat truth. And that's what I'm saying. Like, Nas, he didn't come with any truth. Everything Hov said was true.
Yeah, it's very hard to beat the truth, but this is where that separation is, because with the state of battle rap, people like hearing the made up fantastic lines of things that could never happen.
Right.
Like reloading a gun with bullets that already went through a target.
That's your man's bar, but that's your man's bar, and he keep trying to defend it. He keep trying to defend it. He's posting proof that he's finding sources to say that it. Come on, fam. No.
Man, listen.
It
sounds great. it sounds great. I mean, it sounded great.
Yeah. But you know, we're here for Hov. We gonna lay off battle rap a little bit, but it did weave in, you know what I'm saying? Cause he definitely pays attention to battle rap. I mean, he retweeted Lux after the Calico body.
Yes.
You know, and Hov, and we all know Hov don't tweet.
You know, he does not.
So you know that was big for the culture too. But nah, man, I remember like me being a fan of Jay-Z, man, young and early. And I'll say it's like his first out, like when Dead Presidents came out.
First or second?
The first one, the one that he did so not the one that was on the album, it's the first one.
The video. That's
the only one he did the video, right. The video.
Yes. Okay.
Their present. I want money like Cosby. Who wouldn't? But it's that kind of talk that lets me know that you ain't got no pudding.
Pudding.
Come on, like you know. But anyway, it was that, and you know, kind of. I'm 12, bro. I'm 12 at the time, and now I'm giving you my age. But you know. But this is my introduction. Not even my introduction to hip hop, but because obviously. You know, I had heard the Nas's and the Bigs, but 96 period is a very integral year in my life because it's the year that I was able to, like, you know, I was allowed to go ahead and buy my own music. You know right. what I'm saying? First album I ever bought, actually it wasn't an album, it was a cassette. Here we go, dating myself again. My children will never know what a cassette is.
Ain't that crazy?
Right, but it was a cassette, but it was the Fugees, the score. First two tapes I've ever owned. Fugees, the score, and East 1999.
Classics. You on your way.
Classics.
My man started off buying classics. I love this story.
And I bought these albums coming from up top, coming from New York. Actually in the process of moving to the South. Okay. Mm. So that's what I'm listening to. And then all of a sudden we get in Atlanta. And bruh, let me tell you another epic moment. And this is literally how I get into Jay-Z, right? I fucking heard. It wasn't Pocket Full of Stones. What was it? It was a UGK record.
Mm-hmm.
From, it had to be Shake It Off. Not Shake It Off, because that came out in like two. I have to look it up. I remember it was a UGK record. And then
I will say Pocket Full of Stones is like one of the coldest joints.
Coldest album, one of the coldest songs ever, but Pocket Full of Stones came out in like 94, something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I remember hearing it though. I eventually heard it. But either way, I heard a UGK record and then I heard Elevators by Outkast on the radio.
Really?
Man, listen. This is
what year was this?
96. I'm talking about coming.
Okay. Because Southern Playlisted came 94.
And before that, I had only known Outkast from seeing him on Martin, on that episode of Martin. I didn't actually listen to Southern Playlisted, the album. So the only song at the time that I had known was It's beginning to look a lot like what follow my every
step. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Players ball.
So that's the only song that I knew at the time. But then when AT Aliens, the album came out, you hear Elevators. I'm like, oh man, these niggas down here at, because being in, you're in the Midwest. I don't know if it was different because maybe you, because you are a little older than me, but being up top, I didn't care for Uncle Luke. And that's the type of music that we understood in New York that they listened to.
Well, in
the South. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, you grew up in New York, so you were surrounded with East Coast bias.
Right.
So I can say like this, like the Ohio hip hop scene back then was on the fence. Like it was dope in its own special way, and it was whack in its own special way, because we never embraced our own sound. Like, for instance, like when you think of Roger Troutman and Bootsy Collins, like all these cats are from Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Yet we allowed the West Coast to embrace G-funk. And start a G-funk. So it sounded really weird when we had cats from here emulating the West Coast when this shit is where it originated. It was just crazy for me. Like, you know, if you really, really love music and study music, I was just like, why are y'all trying to rap like Snoop Dogg?
Right.
And then on the flip side of that, you had cats that was, you know, you have your backpackers, you had your, you know, your cats with the one pants leg rolled up, chew sticks, you know, want to freestyle 100 bars, you know, like. But some of those cats were super dope too. But it was like you've never been to New York in your life. Like you're more New York than somebody from New York. Like, what's happening here? Like, we really had no identity. And that was really, really frustrating.
Yeah.
It was really frustrating. But we embraced all sorts of music.
Yeah. So it's like me being exposed to that. I'm like, oh shit. Like, what is this? UGK, you know what I'm saying? Outkast, No Limit, Master P and Mystical, like, kind of like blew my mind a little bit.
But, Mystical, definitely.
Yeah. But then so I move here and I'm kind of succumbed by all these Southern rappers. The 8-Ball MJG's, No Limit is popping, Outkast is popping. And I'm
right.
It's almost like I was yearning for what I heard, listened to back home. And here comes Dead Presidents on the
box. Come on with it, Kev.
And you know how you used to have to call in and request when you watched the box. You know what I'm
saying? You had to pay like a certain amount and you get 3 songs or whatever, like. Yeah.
So I used to get my ass whooped regularly because of that phone bill, because that's how they charge me.
Facts.
But then I got Dead Presidents, and then I see Can't Knock the Hustle, and I go to New York for the summer, and I got my Reasonable Doubt tape, and it was over from there. It was
so wait. Had you listened to Ready to Die before Reasonable Doubt?
No, I can't say that I did. No.
Okay. Okay.
I knew the songs, obviously. You know what I'm saying? Like, from the radio. But I didn't have an appreciation for Big until Life After Death, really.
Oh, okay. Okay. Fair enough.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I knew the radio record. So obviously I knew Big because of what Bad Boy was doing, and they had the biggest presence at the time.
Right.
But I would only hear Big like when my cousins would play it or on the radio. You know what I'm saying?
That's crazy.
That's why, like, when I go back and listen to, when I finally did, and this was obviously like middle school, probably by that time. I listened to Ready to Die in full. I'm like, wait a minute. Where is One More Chance? But that's because I only knew the remix, because that's what
you only knew the remix.
You understand what I'm saying? Like that, I didn't hear like and then when I finally listened to the original version, I'm like, this shit is hard. I understand why they didn't play it on the radio, but that nigga is literally, he's rapping on "When It Comes to Sex, I'm Similar to the Thriller in Manila. Bitches call me Bigger, the condom filler. Whether it's stiff tongue or stiff dick, Biggie squeezy to make sure it fit. Now check this shit. I got the pack of Rough Riders in the back of the Pathfinder. You know the epilogue by James Talk. Come on, that nigga was rapping. Rapping. And I had never, when I heard that, it's like it blew my mind. Like, wait man, a minute. That is, I've been missing.
This is like the greatest story ever, man. Hearing your journey into this, because it's like, Mine was a little different.
Uh-huh.
But this is awesome.
Man. And that's
this is really awesome.
Because it was like an adolescent story, and it just followed me. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, man, I was always one that would go reach back. You know what I'm saying? I would have to find out. Even if I caught you on your second album, and then I had to go find out, like,
yeah, that's dope. A lot of people don't do that.
Yeah, 96 was just a great year.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying, in terms of the music that I consumed and listened to, Busta's album, The Coming.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Wu-Ha, like finally moving to Atlanta and getting cable and then having Rap City, it just ran that ram shit right. Right.
And so just to even think about that, like when we're talking about Reasonable Doubt and when you're talking about Ready to Die, UGK, things like that, you know, it seems like a lot of people didn't catch the wave. Just like Michael Jordan, you know, some people didn't catch on until the shoes and the Gatorade and the championships. They wasn't there for those first round eliminations. They wasn't right. There, you know, they wasn't there for the accolades, but no title. You know what I'm saying? And it's right. Like, for instance, like my sister, Volume 3.
Wow.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I know a lot of people. They didn't catch on until Jigga What? Jigga Who?
Mm.
or even Big Pimpin'. And I'm like, no, y'all gotta go back.
Yeah, man.
Can't Knock the Hustle with Mary J. You have to go back.
Listen, as long as he's been around, and as I tell this story, and we're gonna get more into more whole stories. I'm gonna go through everything, but damn, I just lost my train of thought. What the fuck was I about to say? No, my favorite song of all time. If anybody, when you know how people ask you those questions, what is your only one? You only get one. What is mm-hmm. your favorite song of all time? Period. Favorite song. I'm not even including the part when they say your favorite song from your favorite artist or whatever, whatever. Two questions that never change for me. Who is your favorite artist of all time? It's always going to be Jay-Z. What's your favorite song of all time? My favorite song of all time is Can I Live from Reasonable Doubt.
Mm.
And it's the... Mm. It's, listen, that song, song speaks to me in such a way, bro, that... At 12, I fell in love with how the record sounded. Okay.
Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun. You know, not really knowing about everybody was sampling or whatever. And yeah. Having my father tell me, you know, boy, what you listening to? You don't know nothing about Isaac Hayes. I'm like, who the fuck is Isaac Hayes? This is Jay-Z. What are you talking about? You know what I'm saying? You know, and being again being young and saying that at that age or whatever, but loving that shit. And then getting old enough to always go back to reasonable doubt, because I can, no matter what, any time of day, I can turn on reasonable doubt. Zero skips, no skips.
Oh, go all the way through it. All the way through it.
And the older I got, to hear, to listen, and actually understand the lyrics.
Ah, this yes. Song,
it speaks to me.
Yes.
Bro, come on.
Once it actually starts to hit.
When I, you know, there's a point where it was just all feeling, but then mentally I could understand it. And I'm like, gee, do you hear what he's saying? This is relevant in any period of life for anyone if you actually listen to what he's saying.
I mean, because you got to keep in mind that man was 26 when he got on. You know what I mean? And it's like, he was dropping gems.
Gems.
Left and gems. Right. And it's like, and what I was going back to say is like, it really puts you in a class, like, speaking to myself, it's like I always say I'm a music snob.
Right.
And the reason being is because I don't know if it's luck or if it's just because how much I like music and I'm constantly digging. But you know, we stumbled upon Reasonable Doubt without any, we hadn't, the video for Can I Live hadn't came out yet. And so
it was, and like, I don't think they did. I don't think Can I Live has a video.
Can I Live. I'm talking about Dead Presidents.
Okay.
Because we used to read the Source magazine super hardcore.
Right.
And they wouldn't mention, you know, certain artists and stuff to be on the lookout for. And like the way record stores had it, if you weren't mainstream, they didn't have a lot of copies of your stuff.
Right.
So it may have been like two or three copies when we went to the store and got it. And we listened to that, it didn't come out of the player.
Squirrel, Saga versus Jada Nightwing. Just want to put that out there.
Yeah, I got the notification.
Okay. My bad. Back to old.
But yeah, so it was just like, you know, when I'm telling people, like, oh, you got to go listen to Reasonable Doubt. You got to listen. And then I feel like people talk about Kendrick Lamar. You got to listen to Section 80.
Oh, my God.
You got to go back to the KDOT days.
I think Good Kid, Mad City is still my favorite project of his, but Section 80 is masterful, too. Actually, Section 80, I like Good Kid, Mad City because of how it's structured, and this nigga literally is telling one story throughout that whole album.
Throughout the whole thing, yeah.
Oh, but when you hear To Pimp a Butterfly takes me back to Section 80.
Yeah.
That's the type of time that he was on.
Yeah, like, Section 80 is still my favorite.
Today
is still my favorite.
No makeup today. Like, Section 80 is a classic.
Yeah, like, I mean, like,
we talking about Hov, man. We keep getting signed.
I know, but it's like, well, discussing him and discussing how important it is to understand his growth.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, even with Drake, Comeback Season, mixtape before that, fire. People, you know, they refuse to get to know an artist.
Right.
Going back to Jay, like, second album people complained about because he tried to go commercial.
Yeah, and literally, that's, to be honest with you, like, that's how you also can tell how people don't listen to the album, because all they refer to when they say he tried to go commercial, the only song they refer to is Sunshine with Babyface. And
right.
If you actually listen to the song is fire. People really don't like the video.
Video, yeah, I don't like the video.
It was the video, but the song was dope. But that, the rest of that album, In My Lifetime, bro, like, that's where I'm from where hammers rung, news cameras never come. You and your man,
you and your man, every verse in your rhyme. With a brand
is slung. Come on, man. Come on.
Yeah.
Man.
Or even the intro. A million and one questions.
Oh my God.
That's one of the best intros I've ever heard in my life.
I'll play it for you one day. I'll play it for you. I'm not gonna do it on the pod. Fuck it. Should I do it on the pod?
No, don't do it on the pod.
Don't do it on the pod. I have something you could listen to though.
Okay.
it's mad old, so I wouldn't care if I put it on the pod.
Yeah, don't put it on the pod.
But yes, a million. Obviously I'm alluding to the fact that I did a flip of a million. I mean, that fucking You Must Love Me. That yes. album, bro. So again, that's my story, right? My whole story. I've told you about Reasonable Doubt. I was hooked from that point forward. And then In My Lifetime is coming, but I think before I get the In My Lifetime album, all right, Streets is Watching, the DVD, the movie they did, comes out. This is the Streets is, that Streets is Watching.
I still I have my copy still, and I have the soundtrack on DVD.
I was getting ready to say, I believe I still have mine too. I have to go double check my DVD box, but I'm almost certain I have it. But that is also the first time I was introduced to DMX and Ja Rule. Murdergram is on the Streets is Watching tape. You know what I'm saying? And fuck it, I'll say it. That DVD is probably the first time I've seen any semblance of porn. You remember the scene where they had the bitches stripping and they was fucking too, I want to say. It was you that.
About was Sauce Money?
Was it with Sauce Money? I think that was the song with Sauce Money. It was the song with Sauce Money.
Fuck them all day, fuck them all night.
Right. And they was all the bitches. Bitch, they was buck ass naked. Listen, I'm 12 going on 13 when I see that shit. Like, yeah, it was a wrap from then. I quickly found out how to access porn after that. Anyway,
goodness, that DVD, he don't get no credit for that.
He don't, and
he put money into that.
They put their own money up.
That was better than any Master P movie.
Oh yeah, big time.
Big time.
Big time.
Like, just to be able to watch Friend of Foe?
Bro. Oh, Friend of Foe, yo. State your biz.
What? We watched, what, we got to see part one and two?
One and two. Back to back.
Back to back.
Oh, my God. Back to back. Come on, man.
Yeah, man. Streets is Watching. He riding around in the Boxster.
Come on, man. That nigga said, hey, what's the difference between a 4.0 and a 4.6?
Oh, I'm an imaginary player. Man,
about 40 to 30 G's, nigga. Cocksucker beat it.
He had the chick open the door for him. Like, Obama, man. He has so much swag.
And then to go, so his first two albums, Underground Classics, Building a Buzz. And now he finally gets a hit record with a song that my children now know Jay-Z by. See, my kids, they definitely know him by picture. But what do you think my kids say when they see a picture of Hov at first? What do you think they say?
Oh, they said that's Beyonce's husband. Yeah.
That's Beyonce's husband.
Yeah.
But when I played Hard Knock Life for my daughter, she said, Daddy, who's singing Annie? That's Hov, baby. That's who you call Beyonce's husband.
I
like this
song. That is crazy. Out of all the music that I've played, I don't think I've ever played Hard Knock Life for my kids.
I might have to
do that. But you know what? You know what's funny though?
What?
They know the You Don't Know remix with M.O.P.
Woo!
They do know that. And it's funny because it comes on my son's and he's like, turn my music
it's
the high, high, high.
It's the most yeah. It's the cold. It's 1, 2, 3, you motherfucker, we running these other niggas. Yeah. Come on. Oh!
Hey, when I tell you Max goes crazy, he's like, Dad, this is hard. He's like
Just Blaze can't make a beat harder than that. For the rest of his career, it's hardest Just Blaze beat ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah. Kids go crazy when that comes on. Yeah, man. Like,
do you see the emotions what you're doing right now? Like all this energy.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like a lot of people don't bring that to the table anymore. And even in his concerts, he puts on a show and Jay-Z's not gonna dance.
Nope.
He's not gonna, you know, he's gonna do nothing too crazy. And that just tells you how powerful his music is.
Right. I have never seen, one of my biggest regrets in life was not being able to go to the Hard Knock Life tour.
I hated
my parents for that. But again, I was a teenager, whatever. You know, 14 years old. No, you're not going to a rap concert, A, by yourself. And B, I don't want to go because I don't like rap. So no, you're not going. Yeah, that was
sorry, man.
I had to deal with.
Sorry. I feel very blessed because seen the Hard Knock Life tour. Met the man in Red Man Wig out.
Oh man. And so that's why I was about to go back to that being one of my biggest misses and regrets. But the moment Backstage came out, I was on it.
Oh yeah, Backstage was amazing. That was very important. That was important to the culture as well.
It made me feel like I actually got to see the tour. You know what I'm saying?
I learned a lot of business acumen from Dame Dash too, watching that. Just like the whole issue with the Def Jam jackets.
Yeah.
Like we're not wearing your shit. This Rockefeller.
So listen, for the people listening who love Nipsey, who love this Black Wealth theme that we've been running for the past, I'll say 5 years, because I can't say a decade, who love the fact of Jay becoming a millionaire, all the things your favorite rappers and business owners talk about now in reference to ownership, go thank Dame Dash. He's the one, like somebody always has to take the lumps. Unfortunately, somebody always has to take the lumps, and unfortunately, it was him.
Yep, I mean he was the sacrifice at the end of the day.
Right,
he was the sacrifice for everybody to get over the hump, and now, you know, more and more, you're seeing more and more independent artists that are super successful. I wish there was a way that, you know, everybody could funnel some money to Dame Dash because he definitely deserves it. He ain't hurting.
He's not.
But he definitely deserves the credit, you know, for doing that.
He's not hurting, but his reputation only stands up with the real ones now. Like his reputation is shit in the industry because of those fights that he had.
Yeah, because in those circles they ain't trying to let him in. Yeah.
Right. And I can't wait until like niggas was talking after the Jeezy Gucci versus, niggas was talking about, oh, now Jay-Z and Nas got to do it. Man, they been squashed they beef. I know they ain't got to play records back and forth, but the next reunion I want to see is Hov and Dame. I want Dame at the Rock Nation brunch.
I want Hov and Dame to do like Kobe and Shaq and sit across from each other.
Yes.
The Magic Johnson Isaiah. That's what I need to see happen. That would be dope.
Yes. And because Dame's literally, he's the only one missing now. Like we see Biggs all the time. Like Biggs had to go do his bid for a little bit, but Biggs and Hov is cool. We know Biggs and Dame is cool. I've seen pictures of them. We know that the inner circle of Rockefeller, they still communicate in some fashion, but the family ain't there no more. And Dame, he is the, for lack of a better term, he is the odd man out. But
right,
I need that back. And you know, if y'all aren't working on this already, I mean, somebody need to, you know, Netflix, somebody, I don't know, but the Rockefeller story,
man. Do you think, like, I mean, Jay and Dame are cordial?
Define cordial. I think Jay and Dame's relationship right now is where Jay and Kanye's relationship is. They just don't speak to one another.
If they seen each other, they would say what's up. It'd be small talk.
It's not gonna be, yeah, it would be small talk, but they're not, you know what I mean? Yeah.
They're not enemies though.
But they ain't brothers no more.
Facts. So I was gonna say, do you think Dame said some things that are irreparable?
Yes.
Okay, I agree. Because you just can't sit there and say you'll make another Jay-Z.
Right. I don't even want to call it, I don't even say it that. I mean, he went as far as to call Jay-Z a clown and said that he's always been a liar and that he's a snake. Dame has said some very hurtful things that he's actually walked back.
Yeah, and I feel like everybody that left with him said some bad things and they were able to come back from.
Yeah, absolutely. Like Bean, yep. Joe Budden.
Yeah.
Like there are a lot of people who picked Dame that were shunned at one point who have now mended
their. Yeah, like Biggs.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah.
There's another. And see, that's the thing. That's one of the things that I saw, even though they went through that shit. You know what I'm saying? And Bean said what he said, and with the things that was going on, guess who was always in court when Beans had needed somebody? Like, Hov was always there. They weren't on speaking terms then, but that nigga was there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you see that type of stuff. Like, I don't know, man. Hov has, he's turned into hip-hop's uncle.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody.
And he's. I mean, honestly, he's got the Michael Jackson vibes. Fact. Now he's not fucking weird like that.
No,
but he's a recluse. That's what I'm saying. It's like, yeah, he ain't popping out unless he, you know, choose. He pops out on his time. He's on his time.
If you want to get in touch with him, there's an intermediary, and everybody knows that you gotta call Memph. You gotta call Bleak if you want to talk to Hope. Like,
I feel like Memphis is the only one that has direct access to him.
Correct.
Outside of Beyonce,
Bleak and Ty Ty.
Yeah, facts. They can actually get him direct.
Right. Emery's around too.
Emery's around. He's doing his thing with Puma.
Right.
It was an album. I was listening to a Jazzy Jeff album.
Okay.
And he was trying to, and in one of the interludes, he was trying to get in touch with Will Smith, and he had to go through all these hoops. And it was funny because
go through hoops to get to Will.
Yeah. That at this particular time. Now, okay. I don't know if it was because at the time when he was doing the album, Will was on the set of either iRobot or I Am Legend.
Okay.
And so, because when he finally got him on the line, he's like, "What you into?" And he dropped the title, and I don't know if he said Legend or Robot. He didn't say the whole thing, but he's like, "I'm on set."
Okay.
And then they had a conversation, but it's just like that was funny to me.
Right.
Like, wow, you can't get in touch with your man?
Right. Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's so, you know, but
yeah, Jay is now a gatekeeper.
Facts.
He's just as valuable as a KRS-One, a Big Daddy Kane, a Rakim. He's just as important.
I'm sorry. and maybe this is again my bias and my age, but I'm gonna say he's more valuable than those names you just
well mentioned. Yeah, he's more valuable in the sense in the sense that what he ascended to.
Correct. Yes, where his status now places him above those other names you just named. Like, I don't know anybody in hip hop other than maybe Diddy, and that's a stretch to me.
I just look at it like, so when I look at like what we're saying, I don't necessarily rank him above. Like, for instance, there's years of Black Panthers, generations of Black Panthers.
Yep.
T'Challa may just be the most popular one. Okay. So when it comes to the gatekeepers, I don't necessarily, you know, say he's the most valuable. I'm just saying he's in that status now.
I get what you're saying. I disagree, but I get what you're saying.
Nah, I get where you're going, because it's like he's important because he is knowledgeable about what's going on, and he has the finances and relationships to affect what's going on or make changes. Like Chuck D, Public Enemy, they knew what was going on, very radical, didn't necessarily know how to sit down and talk and get their point across without offending people and making them scared, nor did they have the finances to necessarily help a situation.
Hove brings hip hop with him. He doesn't forget about hip hop, and we've seen it in so many instances. I call him hip hop's uncle now, because even in most recent years, what we've seen him do, Lil Wayne being depressed at a certain point in time, being damn near broke at a certain point in time. Who bailed him out? Hove bailed. Hey. Hove yeah. bailed him out.
Yeah.
21 Savage being locked up by ICE.
Yeah. He
built the legal team. Hove built the legal team.
Yep. You
know, helping other young artists. Hove had a hand in getting Uzi out of that bad contract that he was in with DJ Drama in them. You're talking about Jay-Z, a 50-year-old man coming down to help Lil Uzi Vert.
Yeah, he's pushing the culture forward.
By old standards and old hip-hop guard, Jay-Z's not even supposed to know who Lil Uzi Vert is. He changed that. He's doing leadership in the right way. If I were to say, like, okay, he's like hip-hop's prime minister, I guess, to a degree, something like that. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Something of that. But he's doing leadership in the right way, where no one prior to him, in my opinion, took those steps. I don't know.
I feel like he's grown. He's grown. I mean, Kanye still had to put his work in, and he was right there.
True.
J. Cole sitting outside of the rain, you know, but those was before the YouTubes was super, super powerful, SoundClouds and things like that. Whereas, you know, based off of the times, I think that Jay-Z definitely should know who Lil Uzi Vert is. If it was, you know, going back in, you know, like J. Cole has some fire mixtapes or whatever, and he was working on his craft. But if you in Charlotte, North Carolina, or whatever part of North Carolina, and there's not a big hip hop scene, it's kind of hard to get put out there.
Right.
And then, you know, I love the fact that he had the gumption to go find Jay-Z to get him his music. Whereas, you know, you have like a whole different journey. You take like Fonte, Lil Brother, and Ninth Wonder, same area, and their journey was a little bit different to where right. they're, you know, they're finally getting the successes. Grammy-winning artists working with megastars, you know, Ninth Wonder did music for Hove, Destiny's Child, Beyonce.
So you're getting into something that I also don't think people really give him. I don't think people give him any credit for it, but Jay-Z, the music executive, the talent scout.
Okay.
People ridicule his Def Jam years.
Why?
That I want to ask you that.
So I feel like it was internal. You had disgruntled
people who thought that someone else should have been the president. Like, for instance, LL Cool J was not happy with Jay-Z being put in that position because he thought that Jay-Z didn't spend enough time there. And, you know, because he had a relationship with Lior and Russ, and you know what I'm saying? They felt like, you know, and I think that's no fault to Jay-Z, though.
Oh, right. So I think, all right, so me and you are on the same page. So my next question to you, so you answered the why, right? My next question to you is, was he a successful executive to you?
I think so.
Why?
Why? Rihanna?
You can just say that one name.
He brought Nas to Def Jam.
What he did was this. He did what everybody wanted him to do. He got the position and he brought his friends. He got Nas on Def Jam. He got the Roots on Def Jam. Dame Dash ended up getting his own imprint and was still there, and that was part of the Rockefeller separation or whatever. Jay signed Rihanna. Jay signed Jeezy. Rick Ross. Neo. These are all people who came in under Jay's regime that are now legacy acts that can keep the lights on at any record label.
Yeah.
I don't think any executive at Def Jam has had a better run than Jay since Jay stepped down.
No, because they don't preach independence. And that's where companies fuck up at. It's like they want to bottle, take your idea and keep you in the same position while they grow and don't assist you with growing. And so Jay-Z is taking a business module that is more Silicon Valley-ish, where he is embracing your gifts. You come in, do what you need to do. He gives you the creative freedom. And then eventually you get your own record label and you expand that way.
And so Jay also did, again, he brought his friends along who otherwise would not have come to this label. As well as it's like you said, the independence part, right? So DMX, in his mindset, we all just found this out recently, right? DMX, because he was such a competitor, or because they had whatever small beef at the time, couldn't fathom being told what to do by a peer.
Right.
So he didn't want to be at Def Jam when Hov became president. And what does Hov do? Grants the wish and absolves his debt. All right, cool. Peace.
Go. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, man. I don't know, man.
And we ain't heard from DMX since.
He just recently re-signed to Def Jam, though. He coming back.
I mean, yeah.
Swizz
cool.
Guy. Swizz cool. Guy. But yeah. Man, I don't know. It's just, I mean, you know, heavy is the head, right? Obviously, heavy is the head. But I think he does all he's doing all the right things now.
Yeah.
Then we can even
he's not afraid to fail either.
True.
Like taking all of his music off of everybody's streaming platform so you would be forced to get Tidal.
Yep.
Genius.
Guess what?
Me personally, I didn't care for Tidal.
I've been on Tidal ever since.
Oh, okay. See, I liked Spotify. Mm-hmm. I felt like it was more user friendly for me.
I feel you.
I tried Tidal, I just didn't like it. Did not like it. So when he took all his music off, I was like, let me go ahead and get Tidal. I was like, well, I'm not paying for two streaming sites. And so, yeah, I was like, I'm not paying for both. So I was like, I'm going to stick with Spotify because I just like Spotify better. Eventually, he brought his music back over. Everybody, you know.
But that's how much of a fanboy I am the moment he got it, because I think I was using Google Play. But the moment he became the 51% owner of Tidal or whatever, that's when I left Google Play.
Okay.
But that's how much of a fan I am. You know.
But did you own some SDOTs?
I did not own
the SDOTs. You ain't that. All right, cool.
I did wear button downs with baggy jeans and Air Forces, though.
Oh, I stayed with some, but I had some of the most fire button downs and cufflinks with my jeans.
Yeah.
And white Air Forces. But I could not bring myself, and this is how I know that I'm not a hype beast.
Right.
I couldn't wear those. I couldn't. They were trash. I did not like them.
No, they were ugly. They were ugly.
Yeah.
So were the G's.
So going back, because we totally left my thought. As far as the concerts go, so I was blessed because I was able to see the Hard Knock Life concert.
Okay.
I was blessed that I was able to see when him and 50 Cent went on tour. They stopped by. They came through the city. Okay. It was a little promo tour. And if I'm not mistaken, I think they threw some shoes out in the crowd.
That's right, because it was the Black album and the G Unit album.
Yeah, they came out
the same day.
I would have threw them shoes back, but I'm just glad I didn't get a pair because I wouldn't have known what to do with them. then I seen, oh God, Blueprint 3 tour.
I didn't get on the, so the tour,
it was Hov Jeezy and Trey Songz.
Yeah, I remember.
Dope.
I went, in terms of seeing him live, I went to what was originally the Best of Both Worlds tour.
So I was saving that for last.
Right. So, but you know, the altercation happened in between, and by the time he got to Atlanta, it was just him, but it was called Jay-Z and Friends. That was my very first live Jay-Z concert I was able to go to. Obviously, at that time, I was an adult, had my own money. Nobody could stop me from going. And then I missed the Blueprint 2 tour. And I think we've been to, me and Adrian went to both On the Run shows. So
I had no interest in those, to be honest with you. I heard they were great though.
They were great. They were. We went to both. We did both On the Run tours. You know what I'm saying? So yeah.
Did you do the one at Mercedes-Benz Stadium?
Nah, he didn't do no show at Mercedes-Benz.
Yeah, he did.
It was still I missed that one.
Cause somebody ran up on the stage after they got done.
That wasn't at the Benz. I was at that show. That wasn't the one at the Benz.
Where was it at?
The Phillips Arena.
That was at Phillips?
Yes.
Oh, I thought that was at Mercedes. Oh, I didn't. Because it's funny because my sister flew down because I was living there. My sister flew down and went.
No, that was at Phillips.
Oh, I did not know that was at Phillips.
Yeah.
Did not know that. I just knew that was at Mercedes. Okay. That's crazy. So going to the Best of Both Worlds tour.
Uh-huh.
It only made it to two dates before they split up.
Right, exactly.
And Columbus, Ohio.
Oh.
And Cincinnati.
Oh. Okay.
So I was at the Columbus show. And when I tell you that shit was lit.
Wow.
That's up there. That's in my top five concerts I ever gone to for sure. Because R. Kelly did his thing, but it's hard to compare R&B with hip hop, man.
That's true. And
cause I felt like, and so from what I read, like Kells was upset because he was getting up. It finally dawned on him that he was going to be getting upstaged every night.
Right. Right.
And that's what it was.
And then him and Tata got into a scuffle and then it was over from there.
Yeah. And it was like, man, and Jay wasn't playing, man. I mean.
But he never does.
Oh.
There
was nothing on the flyer, nothing on the ticket. You didn't know nothing. State Prop came out. Like, he brought the whole Rock with him.
Yep.
I was just like, wow, this is way more than what I bargained for.
So I think by the time they got to Atlanta, who was at that show? Funny story about that show. Our house got broke into that night. It was nuts. Luckily they didn't take anything. But
that's crazy. Like,
me and Adrian are leaving the concert, and our neighbor called us. She was like, "Are y'all home?" Like, "Nah, we leaving the concert. We told you we was going to the concert." She was like,
"You're crazy.
Like, your door is wide open." What? But they didn't take anything. Like, so that's another story for another time. I have to tell you, long story short, I think they ran in the wrong house, but I'll explain to you why in another
bit.
All right. So, cause they didn't take anything.
They was looking for something you ain't have.
Yeah. But I'll explain why. I'll tell you why. Anyway, but yeah, nah, I know Luda came out on that show. Jermaine Dupri was there. Jeezy, Rick Ross. Like it was, you know, T.I. too. Tip.
Yeah. And typically, whatever city he went to, he was bringing artists from there.
Yeah.
Of course, he saved the best for last when he went back, because he ended in New York with the Jay-Z and friends. And they said that was crazy. And I was like, man, all I got was Jay-Z and R. Kelly. But still, I was like, that was a hell of a concert. I don't know if I ever told you the best concert I ever attended in my life.
Which was?
It was a Maxwell concert.
Oh, I do not put that past you. Because
I'm talking Urban Sweet Hangover Maxwell. Crazy hair, sex appeal, chick.
Nope.
The temperature changed in the venue. Like, it got real moist.
I bet it did.
Yeah, we needed a dehumidifier in that joint.
Fam, if you could, this is for any dude, especially Maxwell. Maxwell is one of them ones. There's probably a few other ones. Something is literally wrong with you, sir. But general men. If you can't get no pussy after a Maxwell concert, fam, something is wrong with you.
Something is seriously wrong with you. Like, something, man, listen. Man, what?
I don't care if you go to the concert as a single man.
Bro, I'm going to tell you what. I was married at the time Urban Sweet Hangover came out. Or the concert, rather.
Right.
She stood up and did not sit down for 2 hours straight.
Man, look, you know.
2 hours straight. If that tells you anything, all the women in the building stood up.
Yep.
The whole time.
Yep.
While he's grinding on the floor, on the piano, hitting all the high notes. You know, like when he went on hiatus and came back all adult and shit.
Right.
I'm like, this ain't the Maxwell I know.
The music is fire, though. The music is fire. But,
man.
But Urban Sweet Hangover is different.
Yeah, that to this day, that's the best concert I ever been to. Second would be the Sugar Water Festival. I know we're getting off a little bit, but Sugar Water Festival, Queen Latifah opened up. Then it was Floetry, Jill Scott, and Erykah Badu closed out.
Oh.
Yeah, that was one of them ones.
I bet it was.
Oh, that was one of them ones. And I'm sorry, if you couldn't get no dick after that concert,
Something's wrong with you.
That was definitely some serious vibes.
Man, listen, that's crazy. That is crazy. But
yeah, Jay, with Jay being 51, man, it's like
one, bro.
And you know, there was a stigma saying that hip hop is a young man's sport, and he's totally defied the odds.
He Yeah, man. He can rap better than half you niggas. More than half. Probably 80%. Might even...
Yeah.
I mean,
he's the GOAT. He's in the one percentile.
Facts. It's not too many niggas rapping better than Jay-Z.
The best Jay-Z to me is when he gets in his bag and wants to be arrogant.
Mm.
Like, there's only two niggas out there when they go into their bag and want to talk down on niggas and not be humble, it's Jay-Z and Drake.
Yeah.
It's like they don't typically rap like this all the time, but they got certain songs where it's like, I can show you.
Right. Right.
I can show you.
Right.
Like, let that, like, the joint with Nas, let that bitch breathe.
Let it breathe. Let it breathe.
Apartment that the Trump only slept in once.
Niggas sleep on that American Gangster album, man.
Even if I fail, I land on a bunch of money.
Bro.
Stop that.
They sleep on that American Gangster album. That album was probably, outside of the Blueprint, that album itself was the closest one to Reasonable Doubt to me.
Yeah, facts. And the fact that he was able to bring it back and do that.
Right.
You know, and I love the fact that, you know, he's so smart because he was able to say, oh, it's a concept album. Of course I'm not this way anymore. It's based off the movie. It's a concept album.
It was a soundtrack.
Knowing that he's been fiending to talk that drug shit.
Exactly.
Knowing that he's been, and that's like, did you ever see the video clip of him in the studio with Griselda?
No.
Where they was playing the Griselda album for him, and he was in there vibing and listening.
Oh, I mean, he loves Griselda. Loves them niggas. Well, you know, they Rock Nation now, though. I seen the clips of when they went up to Rock Nation, and I seen the clips when he was at their concert and shit. I didn't see him in the studio with him, though.
Oh yeah, there's a video of him in the studio in there, and he's vibing and he's listening to it like, you know, he got the whole face going, the ugly face, like,
Benny's gonna be the first one to get a whole verse. He might already have them.
As he should. Now, I'm not willing to say who's the best out of Griselda, because every time I make that mistake, Conway goes crazy.
Right.
And then if I say, oh, it's Conway, then Benny goes crazy.
Right. Right. So, we're still going to do Griselda appreciation, but this is Hov's day. It's Hov's day. Like, he still has the eye for talent. He's got the power now. You're talking about businessman, entertainer, social activist. Like, I'm very honest with you. I am very surprised that he hasn't been announced as a partner or an investor in Killer Mike's bank yet. However,
I don't even think he wants attention like that.
That's exactly what I was about to say. He doesn't do things for the accolade or the attention of it.
Right. So let me ask you this. What do you think is the tension between Jay and Drake?
I can't answer that question, because every time, there's obviously something there, but there's a lyrical respectability, because every time we literally think they're beefing, then these niggas pop out with a record together.
Right. But it's like Drake doesn't get the invite to the Rock Nation party. He never gets the, you know, now his rookie year, you know, it was all smiles and hugs.
Right.
But since that time, it's like, why? What's happening?
I don't know.
You had a couple of jabs here and there, you know.
That's what I'm saying. There were
because of what Drake said about the whole, you know, the art, too many art mentions and this, that, and the other.
But then he comes back and does the record with him on Scorpion after all of that.
I mean, yeah, man.
You know, so.
I mean, they've got four joints together.
Right. Right. They got whichever
Blueprint
record.
Blueprint 3. Blueprint, the joint on Blueprint that he only did the hook.
Yeah, but they got
Blueprint, you had Light Blueprint Up.
3, Light Up, Pound Cake.
Light Up, Pound Cake.
And then the record on Scorpion.
Something Talk. I forget what it's called. Drug Talk? Dope Talk? I don't know.
No, what's the one on Scorpion? Whatever it is. I know it's on Scorpion.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. I don't know. Maybe.
And then there was the one with Kanye and Jay on there.
Pop shit or some shit, something like that.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like something's there, but maybe it's too petty for them to sit down and talk about because they know it's petty. But I think it would be great for the culture to be able to see one and one A and one B
on stage.
Be on the same page, be on stage, something.
A Jay-Z and Drake concert.
Oh shit.
Would do numbers. You can't even call it numbers. Like,
it's gonna break. It's gonna shatter records. Would shatter records. You know, like even with, you know, Drake even dropped his album. What, a day after Beyonce?
Which year?
I'm trying to think. When did he? It had to. Was it If You're Seeing This Now?
Well, okay.
Yeah. Did he do that? Like,
yes. but that was the thing. Like, it was, I don't know. At first, If You're Seeing This, excuse me, you're right. Cause they did, like, within a day of each other. And it was like in 2015, whatever, Lemonade. And then that came out. Right. But that record from Drake originally dropped as a mixtape. And then they turn around and said, no, it's an album. And from what I heard or understand, it's like, you know, he did that to get out of his Cash Money contract. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, Cash Money. Right. But still, you knew that Beyonce had dropped.
Oh, facts. Big facts. Big facts. Yeah.
So I don't know. Like, could somebody be upset about that? And then, like, even with the Jay-Z Beyonce album, that shit dropped on Nas's time.
It did.
Like, what was that about?
No.
Like, why would y'all do that?
It dropped after Drake's album dropped too, though, didn't it?
No, it didn't drop after Scorpion.
It dropped before Scorpion.
No, that, well, yeah, I think it did drop before. Yeah, I think it did drop before Scorpion.
They both dropped in 2018, though.
Yeah,
because I remember a meme or a GIF, not a GIF, like a sketch by what's that boy, King Karan?
Uh huh.
He. What did he say? I don't know. It was something where he announced the, you know, the Jay-Z Beyonce album dropping. It was funny. It don't matter now. But yeah, man. Shoot. This was, you know, light work, man. Light work. You know, we just wanted to appreciate Hov, and then we got into conversations like we always do.
Always. But happy birthday to the GOAT.
Happy 51. Birthday, Ho.
51 years young.
Listen to me right now. You know, go get you a bottle of Douce or a bottle of Ace of Spade, whatever if you can afford it. You know what I mean?
Sounds like the flavor of the weekend.
Right. Pour up and celebrate. You know, it's a King's Day. Happy Born Day, Hov. From the Cool Nerd Podcast, special edition.
Facts. Yes, sir.
We gone. Like and subscribe, please, and thank you, because we have manners.
Thank you.
Come back and listen to my daddy's podcast.